A WA footy legend in court over sex abuse allegations, a fifth COVID vaccine, and Gina Rinehart gives away millions to staff. It's Wednesday, the 8th of February.
The West Live with Matt Tinney and Ben O'Shea.
G'day, Matty.
G'day, mate. Happy hump day.
Happy hump day to you too. And now let's talk about these incredible bombshell allegations that have been made against legendary Aussie rules footballer Barry Cable, who repeatedly sexually abused a Perth girl, allegedly, while at the height of his playing career. And these are set to be tested in a civil trial.
Yeah, Barry Cable is 79 years old now. From today, this civil trial starts. We're expecting a five-day trial in the District Court of Western Australia. A woman claims that she was abused by Barry Cable from the age of 12. That was back in 1973. She claims she suffered psychiatric harm as a result of sexual behaviour and harassment by Cable, which she alleges continued until she was in her mid-30s. So this has been kept quiet for a period of 4 years because of a suppression order. But finally yesterday, that suppression order was lifted, allowing media outlets like the West Australian, Seven News, to reveal that it was in fact Barry Cable who was the subject of these allegations. So he says he will not be in court for this civil trial. We understand, as I say, it's going to go for 5 days. He declared bankruptcy late last year.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing,
right? Which means if damages are awarded, it's unlikely he would be able to pay them anyway. But it's very clear that this woman wants her day in court. And perhaps, even though she is suing for damages, the money is not the main game here.
Yeah, it'll be fascinating to see what plays out over this five-day trial. And obviously, we'll be watching it very closely. Our colleague Tim Clark will be in court reporting on that. And now, I still can't believe that the pilots of that water bomber walked away from the crash. Like, looking at the images, it is staggering. What do we know about that
and
situation
a 737,
now?
We've never had an aircraft like that crash here. What's going to happen today is investigators are going to start examining that wreck. It's going to take several days to go through it. They're going to try to work out what caused this plane to slam into the ground and burst into flames. Remarkable that you see these two pilots walking straight afterwards, after that ordeal. Obviously very lucky that they were able to get out without seriously being injured.
I wonder if it was one of those things like an action movie, you know, like they crash through the trees and then they jump out of the cockpit and then they're running away and then it blows up or something like that.
So we understand the Safety Bureau has spoken to the pilots at this point, but there still are a number of people involved in that bushfire operation who they need to speak to get some added context into what was going on at the time.
Indeed.
So, very interesting.
And WA police need the public's help after a worrying incident in Swanview.
Yeah, we understand a 14-year-old girl was approached by a suspicious man. This happened yesterday afternoon between 3 and 4 o'clock.
Just after school.
On Miles Road, which is just near the cemetery there. So authorities want to hear from anybody who saw this teenage girl speaking to somebody in a vehicle. We're told it's a white 4-door sedan. So if you saw that interaction occur, if you can get in touch with Crime Stoppers, or if you have dash cam of that specific area during that period of 3 to 4 o'clock, that will help police. So crimestoppers.com.au or 1-800-333-000.
And now I've got an update for you on that terrible earthquake in Turkey and Syria, where the death toll has now risen to more than 7,200 people. The World Health Organization has given an updated estimation that maybe as many as 20,000 people may have been killed or may die by the time the rescue mission is finished. And now, have you seen some of the images? There's one particularly heartbreaking photo of a father holding the hand of his teenage daughter who's trapped under the rubble. Gosh, it's just
awful.
It's just absolutely heartbreaking. And the Australian government is going to provide $10 million in humanitarian aid to help the rescue, to help the cleanup, which is going to go on for months, if not years. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese announced the initial funding will go to Red Cross and Red Crescent and their partners to help people in the region. And Australian authorities are also urgently trying to help families track down relatives who were in Turkey and neighbouring nations, because, of course, Australia has a big Turkish community.
Yeah.
And so there'd be a lot of concern amongst that group. And Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade said there were a small number of Australians in the affected area. Interestingly enough, someone I follow on Instagram was in Turkey.
Oh, really?
Has been in Turkey for the last few months. I haven't actually seen what they've been up to lately. I might do that after the show. Yeah. And they're sending some rescue teams as well as the world scrambles to try and help in any way that they can. And now, meanwhile, closer to home, all Australian adults will be able to have a fifth COVID shot this year, with the government accepting the latest expert advice. So Atagi has said that now anyone aged over 18 who's not either had a COVID booster shot or a confirmed case of the virus within the past 6 months can update their prediction. Experts have particularly recommended this fifth dose for people who are at risk of severe illness. So we know people with comorbidities, disabilities, yep, or complex health needs, you definitely think about that. Where are you up to with
your... I had my fourth.
You had your fourth.
What
so
about
I'm still,
you?
I'm still stuck on three.
Yeah, but then
but
you
I had
COVID.
I had
yeah,
it, which
so
I feel
that's
like
kind of like having the shot.
Yeah.
So, but you know, I was only talking about this with some mates at Claremont last night, saying, you know, oh, I wonder when we're going to be up for a fifth one. And then it turns up today.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but I had my fourth only sort of a month or so ago. So I'd say I'd probably be due for the next one come winter.
That's why I'm looking
maybe
at
by
it.
Then they'll have a combined flu COVID
yeah,
vaccine.
I think definitely will. And this announcement also means that Australians aged 18 to 29 will be eligible for a fourth dose now. Previously, it was only those considered most at risk of severe illness who were eligible.
And I saw apparently we have millions of vaccines.
We have millions,
and
4 million.
We've got 10 million coming.
Yep, so, 4 million doses of Omicron-specific vaccines available now. And as you say, 10 million expected to arrive during February. And now, have you ever used Scotch Guard? You know, like the fabric protector?
Oh.
Yeah, you like spray-on fabric protector?
I don't even have an iron, so no.
Well, like you could spray
enlighten
it,
me.
You could spray it on your couch. You could spray it on your shoes.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
Stop
okay.
the stains,
stop
like
the
stain stains. Resistant stuff. Well,
okay.
the makers of Scotch Guard, the global chemical giant 3M, they've been accused of a decades-long campaign to deceive the public about the risks of the chemical used in Scotch Guard, and now they face legal claims worth up to, wait for it, $58 billion.
Billion?
Billion with
oh,
a B.
I know 3M have those little sticky, yeah, that's a lot of those right. sticky things.
Oh, the sticky yeah. ones. Yeah, so I actually 3M is a super helpful company. But
so how are they deceiving people allegedly?
So basically, so it's about this family of chemicals known as per- and polyfluoroalkyl chemicals known as PFAS. And in Australia, they've contaminated at least 90 sites. And experts reckon they're in the blood of 98% of the world's population.
Whoa.
And so 3M has allegedly fibbed about the dangers of these chemicals that they apparently were aware of. They're also used in non-stick cookware, in a lot of consumer products such as makeup and school uniforms, pretty much a lot of things that you don't want dangerous chemicals in. And there have been studies linking the chemicals to cancer and other health effects that have given rise to the public health concerns.
So do they have to take the chemicals out now?
Yeah, the chemicals are officially being removed from all of these products. I think they've committed to doing it by 2025. And a lot of those products like the non-stick cookware it's already gone from, because this is, there was a movie starring Mark Ruffalo a few years ago, I think it was called Deep Water, Dark Water, something like that, that was all about this situation. And
can we have the list of products? So while they're trying
list.
To phase it out, it's too long.
Everything.
Okay.
Basically everything.
Right.
Which is why it's in everybody forever, which is pretty scary in itself.
Sport.
Now, were you surprised to see Nat Fyfe pull the pin on his
captainship?
Yeah, I wasn't
expecting that one. What about you?
Captainship, captaincy? I think it was the right thing to do, because I think, you know, like at this stage of his career, at his age, he probably doesn't have that much left in the tank. No offence to Fyfe, but, you know, I think he needs to focus on himself. Like he needs to focus on what he can deliver to this young, exciting Fremantle football team. And I don't think it's necessarily in the leadership side. I think he needs to focus on his own game and turn it over to somebody else who's going to be part of the future.
Well, and this is what he's saying. And only a few weeks out, really, from the start
Timings.
Of the season. He's pulled the pin, and he said, you know, I can be more effective if I perfect my craft as a forward, and also perhaps do some shadow leadership rather than leading from the front, so to speak.
Well,
so
he will be a leader.
Well,
like,
it'll be,
of course.
I mean,
lead.
Once you're a leader.
You're always a leader.
Scott Morrison leading?
Lead by example.
Yeah, well, that's true. So he's not going to be in the leadership group. It begs the question, who's going to get the top job now? So we've had a few names mentioned, Alex Pearce, Andrew Brayshaw, Caleb Sarong. What do you think?
Yeah, I like Brayshaw or Sarong for sure. And then Alex Pearce filled in last year. He did a fine job. But I look at, you know, like Brayshaw, surely, you know, like he's a superstar of the future. Yeah. I think you can't go wrong with any of them, really. But you don't know what's happening inside the locker room and you know, like what leadership qualities they exhibit. I'm sure they'll make the right decision. And Nat Fyfe will continue to lead by example.
Yeah. Interesting that they didn't announce it at the end of the season last year.
Yeah.
So what's gone on over this period? You know, that's like, what I want
like,
to know.
It's like Nick Garan. He realised he didn't have the numbers.
Yeah.
Before he got booted out. Anyway. And let's talk about Peter Boll real quick. And so we know that there have been doping allegations against the WA 800-metre national record holder and superstar of the Tokyo Olympics.
I think
and
that so shocked a lot of people, didn't it?
Big time. Big time shock. He's still awaiting the results of the B sample test.
Why is it taking to come so through. Long?
I know, right? Like, surely you just like put it in a little test tube and put some stuff in it.
I mean,
and
we
turns
did a
blue.
COVID test in 15 minutes.
And turns How blue, and there you go. You're on the gear. And so he's obviously strenuously denied having anything to do with taking EPO. And this is an interesting little twist. He has come out now and said he is willing to take a lie detector test.
Oh, polygraph.
Yep.
Okay.
Is it just me, or is like I'm always suspicious when somebody says that?
Is that like what people said in the 90s? Yeah. Like that's a very 90s thing. I'll take a lie detector test. It was sort of like proof of innocence. I'll take the lie detector test.
And the thing is, like he's innocent until proven guilty, and he's definitely claimed his innocence here. But it's like I feel like the only people who say that they want to do a lie detector test are people who are completely innocent and they have nothing to hide.
Yes.
Or absolute narcissists who think they can beat a lie detector
test. Get away
with it. So yeah, we'll see. If lie detectors are still a thing, someone should do it. Like, let's get Peter Boll, let's strap him up to a lie detector test, and let's get it underway.
The Wild West.
Tell you what, woke up this morning, wish I was working for Hancock Prospecting.
No.
Happy birthday, Gina.
I love this story. So Gina Reinhart is going to be giving away $4.1 million in bonuses to 41 staff members.
Wow.
And I bet you're thinking, who are the 41 staff members getting this money? Well, there's going to be a raffle this week. And apparently the names of most staff there will be in there. They're eligible. And so 41 names will be drawn and they'll each receive $100,000 after tax. Not bad, hey? Why is she doing this? Well, it's her 69th birthday tomorrow.
Excellent.
So well, can we put a note in the calendar to wish Gina a happy birthday on tomorrow's show?
Can she throw us into the raffle?
Please. Why 41? Apparently it represents the number of years she's been at Hancock Prospecting, of course, the company formed by her father. So
it's like an FM radio promo, you know. It's like the station's the 40th anniversary. We're giving away 40 grand, cold hard cash.
$4.1 million.
Yeah, wonderful. And now I saw.
I mean,
that
it's chicken feet. Let's face it.
But yeah, for Gina. Yeah, oh, good
but
on
still
her,
good. I mean, good on
wealth,
it.
Share the wealth.
Yeah, I know.
And now I believe that there was a star-studded launch of the Mandurah Crab Fest yesterday. A lot of people eating seafood at the Oyster Bar.
Elizabeth Carr and Sam Jolly.
Were you there?
Down there. No, I wasn't down there.
I didn't get invited.
And I love bloody crabs. I love crabs. So, you know, if anyone should have been
We both should have been.
We could be the faces of the Crab Fest. We could unveil a giant crab.
I would love that. My criticism of the Crab Fest in the past is there hasn't been enough crab.
Well, do you know why there hasn't been enough crab? Because for 3 years, there has been no Crab Fest due to COVID.
Oh.
So it's coming back after this three-year break. So it's going to be on the 18th and 19th of March.
Wonderful.
And when you've had a three-year break, you've got to come back with a bang.
Mm.
So their bang is Vanessa Amorosi is headlining the entertainment. Yeah. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Why are you two?
What
like
is her
that?
Big song? Absolutely,
absolutely
everyone?
Everybody. Absolutely. She performed at the Sydney Olympics.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. She's good enough for the Sydney Olympics.
I mean, she's good enough for Crab Fest.
Yep, Fast Ed.
Yes. So there's going to be all sorts of things down there, competitions, cooking demos, celebs, aquatic entertainment, Vanessa Amorosi, obviously. So
Channel 7 personalities.
Channel 7 personalities will be there. So they're expecting 100,000 odd people over the weekend.
I love it.
And there'll be a series of ticketed Crab Fest experiences as well. So look out for those.
And stay tuned. We'll have more Crab Fest news. in the weeks to come. And that's your news from the West Australian for Wednesday, February 8th. And don't forget to subscribe to the West Live on your favourite podcast player. Maddie, talk to you tomorrow.
Yes, let's hope we can claw our way back. See you tomorrow, mate.
You've been listening to the West Live with Matt Tinney and Ben O'Shea.